Today I want to give a message called Greater Impact. And like last Sunday, we're going to look at the Old Testament, the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. I'm a little bit under the weather, and so typically after service, I love greeting everyone out at the door, but I think just to make sure we try to stay healthy, I'll remain up here, and if you want to chat, I'll be more than happy to do that up here, but I will not be shaking hands just to be on the safe side. It's been a pretty tough cold season, hasn't it, for a lot of us? Yeah. Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Please join me in a word of prayer, and we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you, as Doug has even shared, just how precious your word is. And we do confess, and even I do, that we don't love your word enough. We often love to drown out in social media and multimedia, TV, internet, but our appetite for you is often very weak, and we repent of that, Lord. So thank you for this opportunity that we can look into your eternal word, which is truly living and active. Speak to us, we pray. We thank you and commit this time to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to share four things this morning with us regarding impact. Greater impact, first of all, occurs when God's greater story defines our own rather than the other way around. And we'll explain that in just a moment. Secondly, greater impact is often tragically exchanged for lesser impact. We often settle for much less than what God has for us in our lives and as a church. Thirdly, greater impact grows in response to the voice of the Lord, his word. And fourthly, and finally, a greater impact begins only when we are first impacted. And so those are four things that I want us to be able to glean from this morning's passage. As you began this new year, and can you believe we're headed toward March pretty soon already, the year has gone by so quickly. None of us, on December 31st of this past year, woke up the next morning after celebrating the new year saying, I don't want to make any kind of impact this year. I just want to live my life, be happy, comfortable, eat, sleep, go to work, go to school, and just make it through till December 31st at the end of 2020. For the vast majority of us, we want this year to count. We want our lives to be able to make some kind of impact in, of course, our immediate families, our children, our grandchildren, in our neighborhoods, and the people that you run into day in and day out, and especially as a faith community, as a local church, the body of Jesus Christ. We all want to make some kind of impact in this new year. I'm always humbled when I turn on the TV or read different news articles online of often people who aren't Christ followers, who share their New Year's dreams and visions and the way in which they want their lives and our world to be impacted by what they do in this new year. Many who are not even Christian have such beautiful dreams and visions of how a world can be a more beautiful and loving place. And I'm always moved and challenged by that. But how much more so as God's children, as God's people, as followers of the true King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who conquered sin and death, how much more if he truly is our King and our Lord, our God, should we aspire to do great things and make an impact, not because we are so great or we are so gifted or strong, but because he is. And often I think we can be challenged by those in our world that exhibit great desire for impact in our world today, even in this new year, who aren't even Christ followers. How much more so should we desire to allow our lives to make some kind of significant impact before December 31st rolls around at the end of this year? That has always been my prayer ever since the summer of my eighth grade before starting high school, when I committed my life first to Christ. God, I pray with what you have given to me, this new life, that it will count. I can be used by you. Use me, Lord, to make some kind of impact in this life. And though Kathy and I don't know how long our tenure will be here at Trinity, one day our time will come to an end. We hope not too soon, but one day it will. And I want to be able to look back on our years pastoring this beautiful church and knowing we didn't just maintain things, we didn't just keep the status quo, but God, you used my life, used my wife, used my kids to make some kind of eternal impact for your kingdom and for your glory. That is my hope and prayer, and also motivates all that my family tries to do in this really privileged opportunity that we get to do serving Christ together here at Trinity Covenant Church. God is greatly concerned that our lives make an impact in this new year. You may not want to. You may want to stay safe and comfortable because of hurt or pain or disappointment, but God wants to use your life in a way that is often far greater than what you could begin to dream or imagine. That's where we find the Israelites here in this passage. Because of their disobedience to God, because they broke what we call the covenant, God sent a pagan nation, the Babylonians, which were totally in the power of their that city, to attack Jerusalem, destroy. That city is pretty much hopeless. It symbolizes protection and strength and security. The walls were destroyed and multitudes were killed, and the elite were deported back to Babylon. 70 years in political exile, living among their enemies. Imagine what was going on in the Israelites through all these terrible situations and circumstances they were going through. In God's great plan and sovereignty, he raised up another people, the Persians. They were sent back after 7 years back to Jerusalem, and through great leaders like Ezra, they began to rebuild the temple, and they built the mount, the foundation. But through persecution and discouragement and lies of their neighboring enemies, the work completely stopped. That's the historical and biblical context of Haggai chapter 1. And God speaks to his people, and we see here, as Haggai is giving God's word, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house or the temple. Once again, the foundation was built, but they stopped there. And where I'd like to bring our first point as we think about this, of why that was, is that greater impact occurs when God's greater story, His narrative, His plans, defines our lives and our stories, not the other way around. So often, in our preoccupation, our short-sightedness, our self-centered focus of our lives, we often think that our story, our family situation, is the all-important one. And we try to weave in God's story somewhere in there to our convenience, as long as it can help us do our story and our thing a little bit better. That's where we find the Israelites after their 70 years of exile in Babylon. They built the foundation, but they left the temple, God's house, unbuilt. They forgot that God had a far greater plan than just for them to build their own little homes, to be comfortable with their families, their children, and raise their grandchildren. God has a much bigger plan, a plan of redemption and salvation for the world. Our lives must be connected to God's greater story all the time. We need to be reminded of it, lest we think our little stories are central and we weave God's story to our convenience into our lives, our marriages, and our children and grandchildren. And we get it all backwards. We often think of God's plan as we just got to share the gospel to as many people as possible. They'll raise their hand and accept Jesus Christ, and we just want to fill heaven with people so they don't go to hell, and we just want to take as many people as we can before our time is up here on earth. There's truth to that, and of course I believe that. But if that's our only understanding of God's big plan for this world, that is very truncated. That's very distorted. God's plan from the very beginning is that we who bear the image of God Himself would rule and reign in the created world to share God's love, His power, His authority over all creation as His image bearers. When we rebelled, not just Adam and Eve, but we in them, when we rebelled, we forfeited that right. The image of God became distorted in ourselves, and to this day, sin is in our world. We're messed up, we're broken, things are not the way they're supposed to be in our fractured world in which we live. It's much more than just trying to save a bunch of souls, as if life here on earth isn't important. Theologian N.T. Wright says it this way: when humans sinned, they abdicated their vocation to rule in the way that they as image bearers were supposed to. Sin is the human failure of vocation. Did you get that? For us to really understand what is that bigger plan that God has for us, it's not just sharing the gospel so people can accept Jesus Christ and go to heaven, but it's to exercise our right as His image bearers, as God originally intended in the Garden of Eden, to show the created world what a good king is all about. In politics, in relationships, in our work, in our friendships, family, God's rule, God's reign, His kingdom in every aspect of our lives. And we see that in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, do we not? That is God's greater plan. And the Israelites forgot about that. They were so busy when they returned back to Jerusalem, building their own little homes, worried about their families, they left the house of God untouched. They forgot about the bigger plan, why they were rescued out of Babylon in the first place. And we, when we forget the bigger picture of what God wants to do in our world and through our lives, we cannot have the kind of impact when we divorce ourselves and we forget the bigger picture of exercising our calling, our vocation as God's image bearers. And in Jesus Christ, that fractured image becomes renewed and restored as we go out into our world to show what a good King Jesus is in every aspect of society, culture, and our world. When you begin to understand that that is a more robust and I believe accurate understanding of God's call for us, and yes, we still share the gospel, yes, we want people to know the Savior, all those things, but it's not so we can evacuate planet Earth and just get to heaven as soon as possible. But we begin to show people what the true King is like in every aspect of our lives. And so, the Garden of Eden is the place, you remember, where God walked and talked and revealed himself and his glory to Adam and Eve before the fall in Genesis 3. After the fall and the rebellion, God, still in his grace, revealed himself in a miniature garden called the Tabernacle, where he would meet with the high priest and still intersect with earth. Then it was the temple. The temple was key to the Israelites in that it was a miniature Garden of Eden where God would continue in his grace to walk, indwell, and show up in his mighty presence here on earth. It was critically important for the Israelites. But they forgot about that. They got back to Jerusalem. Oh, we got to get our house in order. We got to build our homes. We got to take care of the kids, the grandkids, and all that immediately absorbed them, and they forgot about the greater plan of God. In other words, the state of God's house, his temple, accurately revealed the state of their heart and relationship to God. It was an abomination that it was still unbuilt as they were busily working on their own lives at the expense of neglecting the house of God. You cannot have greater impact in your lives unless you allow God's plan and his kingdom, his rule, and his reign to define your life, not the other way around. We always have to keep that in mind as we continue to journey in our lives and in our faith. What thermometers, what gauges in your life really, and it's different for all of us, accurately measure the state of your heart before God? For the Israelites, it was the temple, which remained still a ruin while they were busily working on their own homes. Secondly, related to that, as we look at this passage, initially I was going to give more of a topical message, talking about ways we can impact, but the more and more I looked at this passage, I just couldn't do it. I had to give it what it deserved, and so we're going to do a little bit more of an exposition through this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Secondly, related to the first point, is that greater impact is often tragically exchanged for lesser impact. The people of God, the Israelites, were content just focusing on their little lives, building their own little homes as they returned back to Jerusalem, and understandably so, at the expense of God's house remaining unbuilt. In the midst of that, before God sent his message through Haggai the prophet, they in so many ways forgot about the bigger plan and the rescue plan for the entire world to be made right again through God's rule and reign. The people forgot about God's greater story. It's not about them or their families. It's about what God desires to do in our world. And they became content with lesser impact. Just let me have a happy family and raise my kids and take care of them and my grandchildren, and I'll be happy. And God says, yes, do those things, but don't forget, you were made for more. As Christ followers, following the true King, you have been designed and called and equipped to make a far greater impact than just staying within the four walls of your little house. And C.S. Lewis reminds us of that in his well-known work, The Weight of Glory, that the Lord finds our desires are not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies. And you know the quote, many of you, in a slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. Lewis says we are far too easily pleased. Yes, often we get discouraged. Yes, we often think that maybe there isn't that much more to life than just holding my job steady, trying to feed the kids, do the right thing. But God says, no. There's far more that I designed and called and equipped you to be than just what you're doing. Don't settle for lesser impact in your lives. We who are the church of Christ, we who belong to the kingdom of God under the true King, we can expect and dream to be used by God to make a great impact in our time and generation. Let us not sell ourselves short. Dream big. Desire to make an impact for God's glory in our world, in the lives of those that God has put you in. That is the battle we always have. The world and our own small hearts and small faith say, be content with just taking care of yourself and your own little lives. You're so busy, there's so much to do. Do it with a joyful heart. And God is saying, I want to use you far more than just your own little lives. Jesus knew the condition of the human heart, and in his ministry in the 3 years of preaching and teaching, such as in Matthew 13, talking about the seed that fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, the God's word, the gospel. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus tells another story about the great banquet, an awesome invitation that's sent out to enjoy the party of all parties, the kingdom. But as the invitation went out, Luke chapter 14, they all began to make excuses. I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them. Please excuse me. I'm too busy with my life. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. We settle for lesser impact in our lives when we forget about God's greater plan and what God desires to do with and through our lives. You were made for more. We are children of the King. We can have great expectations to have great impact in His power and strength. Don't sell yourself short. That's what the Israelites were doing, and God, through His servant Haggai, gave them a powerful, convicting, rebuking, encouraging word. Thirdly, we see here in our passage, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. Thirdly, we see here that greater impact grows always in response to the voice of the Lord. You can find motivation from friends and from social media and all the other outlets and books that you read, and those are helpful, and please grow in all areas of your life. But for the impact that we are talking about that has eternal impact in the lives of others and builds God's kingdom, it always grows in response to the voice of God. His word, the gospel. And as God reminded them of that, you see the hearts of the Israelites begin to change. He immediately rebuked them for forgetting about God's house. They're so worried about their own lives, their own houses. God's word comes, rebukes them, but at the same time, how does he do it? Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you. What greater blessing and words to live by and treasure by than have the God of the universe say, I am with you, I love you, I am present with you. God's unconditional indwelling presence among his people had always been there, but the people doubted it. Why did you send the Babylonians to destroy us? Destroy our temple, destroy the walls of the city, kill so many of our loved ones. Why, Lord? And God said, even through those tragedies, I love you, I am with you. Even in the 70 years, the years of darkness and abandonment, I have sent my word. I have always been there with you. I've never left you. I love you. You are my people. You are my sons. You are my daughters. I have always been with you. I love you. Even in the midst of the destruction of the temple, the lives lost in the midst of battle, the walls destroyed in the city, I am with you. And now it is no longer a tabernacle or the Garden of Eden. It's no longer a physical temple in the middle of the ancient city of Jerusalem. But we experience God's indwelling presence. I am with you in the person of flesh and blood, Jesus Christ himself, who was introduced to us in Matthew chapter 1. We just celebrated Christmas not too long ago. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Even in the midst where you have trouble seeing, is God really there? Is he really with me? Is he really for me? We see over and over again throughout the scriptures, old and new, that that is God's promise towards his people. Even when it doesn't seem like he is, he's surely gone from my life. You don't know the stuff I've done. You don't know how unfaithful that I've been to the Lord. God says in Jesus Christ, I have always been with you. That's grace. When we begin to understand that, that changes everything. Finally, fourthly, we see here as that word came out, starting in verse 14, I love this. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor. Here we have a political leader. The spirit of Joshua, the high priest, religious spiritual leader, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. A greater impact flows out of our lives only when we are first impacted by him. God sent his word. He sent the spirit to stir the spirit of the leadership of Israel, the political leaders, the spiritual leaders, and then all the masses, the entire community. And then finally at the end of our passage, then they began to pick up the shovels, the axes, the hammers, and began to rebuild the house of God. We can try as hard as we can on our own to try to have impact in our lives, but God must work first in us to stir our hearts, to renew us, to change us, to forgive us, for us to experience his incredible love in the person of Jesus Christ. And once you experience that kind of impact, it so transforms you that you begin therefore, from that point on, to begin to serve him and make the kind of impact you have been destined and called to do from the beginning. That should always be our prayer in the midst of our crazy busyness in this new year. Lord, change me. Meet me. Impact me. Stir my heart. Let me have a fresh encounter with you individually and here, our church, that we could begin to work hard as our hearts are impacted and stirred. That is the gospel. Greater impact begins only when we are first impacted. And so as we draw to the end of our time together this morning, we ask ourselves this question: in this new year, how can I have a greater impact on those around me, my loved ones, my children, my grandchildren, my church, and my community? Greater impact happens when we are aligned with God's greater plans and purposes. Tap into that. Embrace it. Let God's plan define your life, not the other way around. And as you do that, as you encounter him through his voice, his word, as you encounter his spirit stirring and moving, we will begin to experience what it is like to have God use us to make an incredible, eternal impact in the lives of other men, women, and children. That will be something far greater than what we could ever do when we forget about God and his plan and just think about our own little lives. He wants to use you in that kind of way. He is a God of great impact. And so greater impact occurs when God's greater story defines our own, his kingdom, his calling, his renewed self-image in us because of Jesus, as we live out our lives in our culture and community, bringing the beauty, power, and truth of the true King into a world that is lost and broken. Secondly, we talked about greater impact, and often we tragically exchange it for lesser impact, and we settle when we forget that God has called us to a life of tremendous impact because of who he is and what he's calling us to do. Greater impact always occurs in response to the voice and the word of God. What has God's voice been speaking to you in this new year? Respond, submit, obey, that we can live into our calling to make a great impact for the kingdom of God. And fourthly and finally, greater impact begins only when we are first moved, impacted, changed, as we experience his indwelling presence, his power when we don't deserve it. And when that happens, we are stirred to work, to move, to love, to risk, to use our time, our energy, our resources, our finances, anything and everything to further the kingdom of God. Without that kind of impact first, it's a very, very painful thing to try to live into that without experiencing the power of God in your life first. As we do that, I believe that as we come to the end of this year, we will see, as we look back in our lives, all the amazing things that God will do and wants to do through your life and your families to make an impact for his kingdom and his power and glory. May that define our lives, our families. May we, as a church community and family, not be content with just doing church as usual, but may we dream big and expect God to impact many lives for his kingdom, as he is a God of greater impact. Let's pray. How does God's word speak to you this morning in this very timely and relevant challenge to God's ancient people centuries and centuries ago, busily just focusing on their own lives, building their own little homes, when God's house still remains unbuilt? Father, we thank you for the reminder that we can be allowed to dream of making a great impact for your kingdom and for your glory, the kind of impact that lasts into eternity. We thank you that you remind us that we are not just to help save other souls and usher them into heaven, but we are to bring your kingdom here down to earth as we are your image bearers, showing a world what the good king looks like and his power, his beauty, his plan and purposes. Father, teach us that we can dream big even through our challenges of our lives. Help us to expect to make great impact in the lives of others and in this community. As you are a God of great impact, I pray that as we realign ourselves by looking at your plans for us, as we heed your voice calling out to us, challenging us to build your house, as we once again encounter your Holy Spirit to so move us and change us, allow our lives in this new year to make an impact on all that we come across. And we pray, Lord, as we think about our church, I pray that more than the great ministry that happens within the four walls of this building, give us a greater vision of the harvest in your kingdom, that we can see many, many lost people experience the goodness of the true and righteous King. Teach us to expect greater things that are yet to come. We thank you in the name of Jesus, our King.